Yes, right now here on Sports Overnight on RSN 927. It's a pleasure to be joined by the one and only Adam Curley from AFL Media in New South Wales. Thanks for joining us, Adam.
Good to be here.
Well, first things first, we'll get on to the Swans a little bit in just a moment, but the Giants, they're through to a preliminary final and they go in unchanged for that huge game at the G on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. Still not convinced that they will go in unchanged. I think the final teams will be one to watch on Saturday afternoon, that's for sure. But the good thing is that Steve Johnson's got up, has pulled through from that knee, I guess you'd call it an injury, but the veteran seems to have got up this week, which is good news for Giants fans.
Well, just on that, Adam, and as you say, you think that they might not go in unchanged. Is that what you would be alluding to? Obviously, since he wouldn't be dropped on form, you wouldn't think Stevie J, but obviously his body backing up might have been the issue. And who else, if not, do you think might make way?
Yeah, no, I think Stevie will play. I think if there was any doubt over him, they probably would have ruled him out today. I don't think there's any point in delaying that. But I just think with given the Tigers' forward line, I just don't see a matchup for Adam Tomlinson. So I think Devin Smith will be the one to come in for him. Unless Leon Cameron is thinking of maybe throwing Tomlinson forward or having him on the bench to pinch hit in the ruck, or he's played on the wing before. He's very versatile and very athletic. So I just think they might wait until what we see on Saturday afternoon at the G. If there's a bit of rain around, Devin Smith's a massive chance to come in.
Of course, Brett Deledio will face up against his former mob, which adds a lot of intrigue to this preliminary final against the Tigers.
Yeah, it's a great story, isn't it? I guess if you'd asked Brett last year when he's agreed to get the trade to the Giants, he probably thought, yeah, that's why I want to go there. I want to play in big finals and have a chance for success. But I doubt he would have thought about playing his old mates at the G in front of probably 95,000 fans that would have been cheering him last year. But now they'll be baying for his blood, so... it's a great story. It's great to see him back on the park after having such a tough year. 250 games, a massive milestone. So hopefully he can go well. But I have no doubt that he's preparing himself for a pretty hostile reception.
Adam Curley from AFL.com.au, AFL Media in New South Wales, ahead of the Giants preliminary final at the G on Saturday twilight time against the Tigers. Are you worried about, from a Giants perspective, Adam, their record in Melbourne, or the MCG in particular, or you think that's a little bit less of a factor in a final you play anywhere?
Yeah, I think they'll play anywhere, but I don't think you can take too much into a record when they hardly play at the ground. I think the thing people forget was when they played Richmond earlier in the year at the MCG, they were up by 3 or 4 goals in the first quarter and were flying, and then the rain came. Toby Green lost his head a little bit and sort of went away from his game plan, got reported and what probably wasn't cited again for the day, and they only ended up losing by, I think it was 18 points. So, yeah, there's a lot to be liked about the Tigers and playing on the home deck, but I think the Giants are being sold a little bit short. I think the big open spaces, the G, will suit them, especially if the sun can stay out.
And as you mentioned, that could be a key as well. It looks like it could be pretty wet yet again there at the G twilight time on Saturday. What do you make then of the Giants season as a whole, Adam? I guess from afar, it seemed a little bit unconvincing. They nearly did finish on top, obviously, but a lot of close wins probably haven't been great down at the G most of the season. Did have that massive win that Eddie had against the Doggies late in the year, but they do have the talent to just click, do you think? Or are you worried about the way the season probably has panned out despite the injuries?
I think they've had to fight for it, that's for sure. So I guess that holds them in good stead. You think about the Collingwood and Richmond wins back-to-back where they stole it in the last few seconds. They went through that patch where they had a couple of draws and I think won one game in 6 or 7, but they came out, still finished top 4. I think that's the main thing. Yeah, they could have finished on top with another win or so, but they're still in it, that's the thing. And as we saw last year, with the Western Bulldogs, what they did. Any team can win it on their day. So I know everyone's giving Adelaide and Richmond a pass straight through the grand final, but I just don't think it's going to be that easy for either side.
And also, just on the Swans there, Adam, a lot of people thought that the miracle wouldn't be such a miracle towards the finals, that they were one of the favourites to go all the way. But was it just a case of that zip six start looking very tired and listless last week that it would prove too steep a mountain to climb, and that's the way it panned out for Sydney?
Yeah, it looks that way. I must admit, I was really shocked by the performance they turned out. I think they were initially shocked themselves when Dangerfield went forward, and once he got a couple early, they started jumping in a couple of shadows, and once you give a side like Geelong any chance, they'll take it. And of course, the Cats would have been primed for, after going down to Richmond, they would have been primed to hit back. So I think all things probably went against the Swans, and they just didn't have enough of their big guys step up, which is something they're going to have to live with over summer, as well as that terrible start.
And just on the Buddy deal, obviously a bit of talk about that out of it. He's, depending on who you speak to, I guess, Adam, some say it's been a raging success. Others think it's been a, pardon the pun, a Buddy disaster. What do you make of the Buddy deal as a whole so far? I guess the proof in the pudding, they would want to get at least a flag or two out of it at some stage.
Yeah, I guess the ultimate success is what every club is craving, but I don't think you can judge his move to Sydney on that fact, because, I mean, he's been amazing since he's got here. Won the Coleman this year and has obviously had his troubles a couple of years ago, but has fought back from them. You see the crowd at the SCG when you go to the Swans games, so many 23s on the back of young kids walking around, and well, from that point of view, I think it's been a raging success. Obviously, they would want premierships, but I don't think you can judge one player's trade on whether a team wins a flag, because as we know, they're just so hard to win. So they're roundabouts and they're always in the mix, so I think that's the best they can hope for.
And just a couple more before you go there, Adam, really appreciate your time being so generous with it. Adam Curley from AFL Media in New South Wales here on Sports Overnight on RSN 927. Just on the crowd, obviously it might be skewed, 95,000 odd in the Richmond Footy Club's favour to a few GWS fans on Saturday. How much of a factor do you think that has? And maybe do you think it can work in GWS's favour with maybe the pressure being on Richmond?
I think that's the only way the Giants can look at it, really. There's nothing to lose, is there? They get a couple of goals early, put the Richmond supporters back in their seats for a couple of minutes, get it a bit quiet, and you'd think that the Richmond players, being with so much history of them going out in finals, and it's been so long since they won one, they've had 2 weeks to think about this game. There has to be some doubts in their mind. And I guess if the crowd goes a bit quiet early, they might start doubting themselves. But I think the Giants just have to embrace it and go in with that mindset. That's the only thing they can do, just be excited by it. They're playing in front of 95, maybe 100,000 people, so you don't get that opportunity too much. So I'd just embrace it and have a crack and see how you go.
And as you say, Adam, that's right. We'll be interested to see once again with the teams of the week off playing just one game in three that, yeah, could really bode well for the seasoned and hardened teams. But last but not least, who does win both preliminary finals there, Adam? I'll get you to put your neck on the line there. And I guess, as you said, Friday night looms to be incredibly mouthwatering as well, even though a lot of tipping the Crows.
Yeah, well, controversially, I've gone for the Cats and the Giants. My predictions on afl.com.au, but I think the fans of those clubs can take heart from the fact that I picked the Swans and the Bulldogs to win the prelims last year, and they were both underdogs. So I think Dangerfield's a massive factor for the Cats. Mitch McGovern's out for the Crows. I just think there's a lot that the Cats can do. Joel Selwood's obviously an amazing player, and there's a lot of, they would get a lot of confidence out of taking the Swans last week. And I just think the Giants, I just think this team just found a little bit of form last week. And I think once they get on the MCG, I think they'll realise what the opportunity is in front of them. That's what they were have been striving so long for. So I'm going two upsets, the Cats and the Giants.
Good on you there, Adam. I think it's pretty much 50-50 on Friday night as well. And let's hope it's a rip snort at the G on Saturday, the Giants and the Tigers. Thanks for your time once again, and bring on the prelims, Adam.
Pleasure, mate. Talk to you soon.